Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James here with you, and we're joined right now by our friends from the Weather Eye Weather Center. Good morning, Paul.
Yeah, good morning to you.
How's it going over there?
Oh, as busy as ever, yeah.
Yeah, I can imagine. We've got some interesting stuff. We've got a pretty good mix of almost everything coming up here. Now, what are you seeing, Paul?
Yeah, it looks like the system coming in, two main bands over us, band number one coming in tonight, and that's going to play out into Wednesday morning. A little bit of respite in the accumulating snows during the day tomorrow, and then they'll ramp back up with the second band coming in Wednesday night, continuing through Thursday for a time. That second band, the heavier one as far as which one will see the higher amount of snowfall with it. With this first one, coming in, we have the winter weather advisory in effect here for us tonight into Wednesday morning. Snowfall right now looking at an order of 3 to 5 inches with this first part of the system by tomorrow morning. And then a winter storm watch in effect Wednesday late afternoon through Thursday night. And that's for the bigger band, more heavy snows with that one. Some of the initial indications put somewhere maybe on the order of 6 to 10 inches. With that second band of snow coming in Wednesday night, Thursday. So certainly over a foot of snow still looking to be quite likely here for us by the time the storm totals from the two bands are added together. But it looks like we'll still stay with our temperatures today in the mid-20s with more clouds and sunshine. And then light snow tonight, 21, light snow into Wednesday, 26, a little bit of a lull in the accumulating snows tomorrow. But then starting to ramp back up Wednesday night, 17. Snow and blowing snow as well into Thursday. Snow and blowing snow, 22 for the high. And then 4 below Thursday night. Some areas of blowing snow. Light snow showers taper off. But then Friday, 17 and partly sunny. Weekend weather improving with breaks of sun. Saturday, 31. Low to mid-30s Sunday. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Yeah, we skated by for a while with this unseasonable weather and everything. But here we are now. It's coming.
That's right. Can't get out of here before we get our payback.
Yeah, exactly. We got to get that out of the way if we're ever going to get to spring. So, it's important.
Exactly.
Appreciate you, Paul. You have a great day.
Thanks. You guys, too.
Best in the business right there. Our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. Appreciate them joining us.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit later, Melissa and I are going to get into some fun, random, weird facts about political elections. I got that coming up for you. There's some doozies in there too, people. Like there's some. I almost guarantee nobody knows some of these. So we're gonna get into those right now. This is a big one, and I think a lot of us have joked or talked about for a long time robots or AI taking our jobs. I didn't know it would go down like this. The Washington Post just did a really interesting, important write-up on how companies are now using artificial intelligence to choose who gets laid off. Google laid off 12,000 employees last month, and people thought some of the layoffs seemed a little random. So they vented online and speculated that AI had a hand in it. Google claims that that's not the case, and there was no algorithm involved in the layoffs. But that doesn't mean it's not happening at all. Someone polled 300 HR managers last month, and 98% said they expected to use software or algorithms to help make decisions about layoffs this year. 98%.
Yeah.
On its surface, it seems like a pretty cold and inhumane way to let people go. But some think it might be the leveling the playing field and to make sure that valuable employees don't get laid off or there isn't personal agendas involved. Companies are also already using this type of tech in other ways, too, including choosing who the best person is to hire for a position. For example, AI can compare skill sets and weed people out. It can also predict a person's flight risk, meaning will they take the job and jump ship a year later? But it's not good at everything yet. Like, it might not recognize that a company has issues with discrimination. So it could automatically assume women and people of color are more likely to jump ship. In other words, things could get dicey if HR starts blindly following its advice without questioning it.
Yeah, because they're just looking at data.
Quick question. How lazy are we going to get? How lazy are we going to get as human beings? to so we from the very first invention, the wheel, we've been looking at making things easier. Ain't nothing wrong with that. That's part of innovation, Holmes. That's what it's all about. There's a difference. There's a level. There's a line in the sand of easy and I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to think about this. I don't want my hurt. I don't want to have hurt feelings or any of these things. So I don't want to do this stuff or I don't want to do this. And then we wonder why. Oh well, what happened? How come this computer didn't have emotions? How come it wasn't thinking? How come it didn't see gray area? Because I will give you the same thing my papa told me when I could not get the computer to work for me when I was a kid. It's only as smart as the person using it, Jimmy.
Yeah.
The computers, no matter how far advanced AI can go and all these different things I just told you, every computer needs to be turned on. Mm-hmm. it can't turn itself on. Like that, the human beings are, we need to be making these decisions. The idea that an algorithm can help you like, right. Okay, who
can
is
give you information?
Who's giving me production? Who's giving me this? Yep. Let me look at the numbers. That's every job we've ever worked. I get that. That's different. But the idea of them making these cold hearted decisions, human beings need to be involved for better or worse. Sometimes that's the worst. Sometimes that does involve discrimination in those things. Sometimes it also involves, hey, both these candidates are the same, but this person right here, that's a single mom, and I'm a single mom, and I get that. I'm going to give them an opportunity. I'm going to give them a chance. A computer is not going to see that. It goes both ways.
Right. And it only has the information that you've entered into it. If you don't put forth the effort to give it all of the parameters and all of the information, it's working with a short deck.
This isn't making life easier for us if it's just going to make more work or more problems down the line. Discrimination, representation, these are words that everybody has in their lexicon now for a reason, because they exist. This, to me, this is the last thing we need. The idea of it taking the personal grudges or any of this kind of stuff out of there, why do we need a computer to do that? Why can't we have somebody in that position that'll do that?
Ourselves?
Yeah. Why? What are we doing here? What's going on? How lazy are we going to get?
You think we have a workforce shortage now?
Right.
Just imagine what's coming.
If it's up to computers to decide, well, you know what? Out of these 10 candidates, 8 of them are flight risks. Then what are you going to do? I mean, you got 2 candidates to choose from, and neither one of them work for you, or maybe their schedules don't work with the schedule you're hiring, or something like that. I mean, there's gray area. There's so much gray area when it comes to any of this stuff, let alone this. I get disappointed in people when it comes to some of this stuff, because part of the reason human beings evolved as much as we have, got as far as we did, go to the moon, go to the deepest depths of the ocean, is we chose to do that. We made the initiative to do it. We had the energy to do
it.
And
people died trying.
Yeah.
Put forth the effort.
The idea that computers could run everything, or our AI could take everything over, only if we let it. That's the thing they don't tell you when you read, artificial intelligence books or these sci-fi movies, when you watch them in any of these things. They don't usually touch on that part of it. None of this happens if we don't let it happen. We are giving them power. They can only do as much as we tell them to do and everything. And if you're going to be putting them in charge of this stuff, well, why not let them? Well, let's vote for a robot for president. You know, they're going to make very uncold decisions and everything. They don't even have a political party. They're just a robot. They have the archive.
Who's the programmer?
There you go. This is what I'm talking about, because you're still not even asking computers to do the job. Human beings are, again, what my papa said, it can only do what you tell it to. It took a human being to do that.
Yep.
It's an interesting
situation that we're in. And that was, I'm sorry, you said 13,000 people fired from Google?
12,000.
12,000, still. Yeah. 12,000.
Yeah. And that's Google doing that. Like, if Google's hurting, what does that say for the rest of us?
Yeah.
And I go from that to this with no segue but a connection. The hardest working cities in America.
Mm-hmm.
An annual study found that the average American worker logs 1,791 hours per year. That's 294 hours more than the UK, 442 more than Germany. So which American cities work the hardest? I think actually we might want to take a second on that, Melissa, before I go too much farther.
Yeah.
That's a little staggering to me. I did not see that.
What was the UK number?
294. And Germany was 442.
That's 36 8-hour, almost 37 8-hour days.
Yeah.
And Germany's practically double that.
Yeah.
That's an extra month, more than a month, mm-hmm. of work.
That we're doing that other countries aren't.
Right. Hmm. And or 2 months. That's crazy.
USA? I don't feel like that's one where I'm going to chant that. I love our work ethic. And I have a crazy work ethic myself. I'm a proud American. I think that that's part of where that comes from. But I don't think I'm a good outlier. I don't think I'm a good example. I think you should do the opposite of what I do in many ways and everything.
The unfortunate reality of the people who are working that much and working those jobs, they're not doing it because they want to, James. They're doing it because that's the only way they can keep a roof over their heads, a car to drive, and food on the table. And sometimes they can't even do all of those things while working that much.
I will say this, just speaking for myself, because it is me, and many others that you're talking about there, Melissa, I got into a profession that I knew was not... The day I got hired in radio, they told me nobody gets into radio for money. And I say that just to make sure that the conversation is fair. I understood going into this industry that you don't make a ton of money in it. But even with that being said... no matter what job I'm going into, you would hope the minimum wage is a wage that is going to help me, be able to put a roof over my head, to be able to at least afford an apartment, to be able to put food in my refrigerator, those kind of things. That's not just a radio thing. That's any job in the world, let alone here in Wisconsin, where a minimum wage has not even been dusted. The minimum wage has dust on it. Look in your company,
handbook.
Meeting rooms, how they got the posters up of minimum wage, of OSHA rules, of those things. Those things have dust on them because they haven't had to change it in two decades. No. That's wrong. How can you see that that's not wrong? That if we can't meet on that level, I don't know how we can have conversations. If we can't even get to the basicness of understanding math and inflation.
And not only that, but the need for these jobs that we have to have. We need people to run gas stations. We need people to work in fast food restaurants and sit-down restaurants and grocery stores. And every service job that you can think of, we need people to do those jobs.
And before anybody starts up with, well, back in my day, or I did this in my day, yeah, my day too. You know what was also different in my day? They had the dollar store had stuff in it that was a dollar. The affordability of things was...
Inflation wasn't outpacing wages then like it is now.
Yeah. Again, that should not take a rocket scientist to be able to make that leap, that move there from that to that. The idea of...
College was publicly funded back in the 50s.
I miss when I was a kid. Oh, I'd love to have known what it was like. What was this perfect America that you lived in? Tell me about it. Tell me how everybody was treated equally, how men and women were paid equally, how et cetera, et cetera. If that wasn't the case, miss me with that. Because it doesn't add up. Work ethic is still there. But people are just done putting their effort and their energy into something that is only going to pay them $7 an hour.
Yes.
Wallet Hub compared the 116 biggest cities in the U.S. using 11 key metrics like employment rates, average work week hours, volunteer hours, percentage of unused vacation time, and average commute time. Based on that, the 10 hardest working cities are San Francisco, Anchorage, Alaska, Irving, Texas, Virginia Beach, Washington, D.C., Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Norfolk, Virginia, Cheyenne, Wyoming, Dallas, and Austin, Texas.
All right.
There are 8 Texas cities in the top 22, just for a little note there. I thought that was interesting. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Of all the cities that looked at, they looked at, Burlington, Vermont ranked dead last, followed by Detroit, Buffalo, Bridgeport, Connecticut, and Cleveland. Kind of interesting. I don't see Wisconsin ranking low in this list, but that is still a very interesting list there. We will go ahead and take a quick commercial break so we can come back and get into some Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. We're looking forward to that. All that more coming up right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. It's time for Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. What we're about to do is do some celebrating. We encourage you to do some celebrating with our friends over at Misty's Menu. If you're hungry, if you're celebrating a birthday, head on over there, let them know at Misty's, get a free slice of Brian's pie. They're open right now 6 to 2, and they're open most days 6 to 2. Now, keep this in mind, they'll be closed Wednesdays and Thursdays in February in the first 3 weeks of March. They'll be closed February 25th. To March 5th, they will resume normal hours on March 20th.
I think they've earned a week off.
Absolutely. Our great friends over at Misty's Menu deserve much more than a week off. Yeah. they're working hard over there. We appreciate them doing that. We, of course, encourage you to head on over there at 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, wish them a great day from all of us here at WFHR. Melissa, I need you to do a little work this morning.
Okay.
Need a 1 through 4.
Ooh, I'm going to choose 2.
All right, that gives us our qualifier so we can get right into the celebrating. And first up, we want to wish somebody a happy birthday that can't win.
Okay.
A very happy birthday to Roan Habagger.
Ah, yeah, that's right. Happy birthday, Roan.
Happy number 12, Roan. Roan's a great kid. Wonderful.
And 12 is such a fun age.
It really is. It's a great age. That is a really good one. Enjoy this, Roan. Have a good one. Make sure to give your parents a big hug from all of us here.
Yes.
I was going to go a different route with that. No, I'm not going to. I'm not going to be a brat. Roan's a great kid. Enjoy being around him. He's a great kid. And enjoy your 12th, Roan. Hope it's a great one for you.
Yeah. Have fun.
Getting to some listeners' birthdays, let's go ahead and wish a very happy birthday to Louise Spedowski.
Happy birthday, Louise.
Spedowski. Spedowski.
Yeah,
Louise Spedowski. Yeah.
Spedowski.
It's a good name. Happy birthday to Jeff Odom.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Hope you have a good one, Jeff. Enjoy your day. Happy 85th birthday to Tom O'Ligny.
Woo, happy birthday, Tom.
We hope you have a great day, Tom. Enjoy it. Hope it's a good one for you. And our qualifier today, Harvey Hankey.
Ooh, congratulations, Harvey.
We hope you have a great day, Harvey. Enjoy your day. That's a great name, by the way.
I know. That's what name. I was just thinking. Yeah.
Have a great day. Hope you enjoyed, Harvey. And you're our qualifier today.
Happy birthday.
We go ahead and take a look at our celebrity list of birthdays and anniversaries real quick here. And we have Sophie Turner, 27, today. She is Sansa Stark on Game of Thrones. She was Jean Grey in the X-Men Apocalypse and Dark Phoenix movies. Good young actor. She's going to be working a lot going forward here. At least it seems like it. Haley Orantani is 29. She's Adam's sister, Erica, on The Goldbergs. I like her. She does a good job. I haven't watched that show in years, but when I was watching it, I always thought she was really good on that show. It's one of the better people on that show.
Okay. I'm not familiar with her.
Corbin Blue is 34. Disney's High School Musical and Jump In. He was also on Dancing with the Stars and finished second to Glee's Amber Riley. Not sure who that is. Not familiar, just being honest.
I like the name Corbin, though.
It's a good name.
Probably because I like Fifth Element. Corbin Dallas.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great reference. I love that. Oh, I love that reference. That's such a good movie. It's a good bad movie. It is definitely not like a nominating awards or anything like that. But if you like a good bad movie or just a good fun movie, maybe.
I think it's a sci-fi. It's really kind of out there with the elements that it portrays, but it's lots of fun.
When you got a director like Baz doing these kind of things, I love that it's kind of like a inside joke with the audience. Hey, we're going to go, when we could go to 10, we're going to go to 20 on some of this stuff. We're going to, you know. Elliot Page is 36. Vanya and Victor Hargrave on the Netflix series The Umbrella Academy. Juno back in the day. Mm-hmm. Incredible actor and incredibly brave. The way that he has handled his career, making the choices that he has made to make this change, to do this, and for him it isn't necessarily a choice. It's the way he was born, but still brave in my opinion.
Yes, and to be public about it.
Yeah, especially when it comes to the acting world, there's so much put into image, and your career's dead if you're not doing this and doing that and everything as far as those things. I just really admire it. Mm-hmm. I really admire Jordan Peele. Jordan Peele is 44 today.
Wow.
Famous from Key and Peele, of course, and the sketch comedy show that they would write there. Some incredible sketch writing. One of my favorite sketch comedies. Top 15 sketch comedy shows of all time. Jordan Peele, graduate of Second City. I should mention that. Mm-hmm. Jordan Peele, also the most sought-after director there is right now. If you have a suspense movie or a thriller that you want to direct, maybe a horror movie, he is your guy. Twilight Zone host, Oscar nominee for writing and directing Get Out and Us. I saw some reviews for Nope, his most recent one, that people weren't too thrilled with it. I thought it was awesome. It was really, there's not many movies I recommend. If you like a suspense movie or a UFO movie or anything like that, which I'm not always into the whole UFO movie stuff, that one got me in. This one pulled me in. It was really well done, really well acted. I think that part of it was because it was simplified a bit. It wasn't all leaning into special effects. It was much more, to me, what would get me about like an Alfred Hitchcock movie was not the monster. It was seeing the woman's reaction to the monster and the monster's shadow behind her, you know, that right. kind of thing.
Like, right. What you're imagining in your own mind.
Yes. And Jordan Peele leans into that, where nowadays everybody green screen this, green screen that. James Cameron wants to green screen everything. And, you know, you got a movie like Avatar 2 making billions of dollars and there ain't one real thing in it. Jordan Peele's went the completely other route. And I really admire that work. It's really well done. And it's just a good movie. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Love Hewitt is 44.
Wow.
Been in the public eye. I've been doing this for a long time, Jennifer Love Hewitt. I wouldn't have been surprised if she was a little bit older. But I also am a little, if you look at her, you'd be surprised she's 44.
Well, yes.
She's aged great.
Mm-hmm. I Know What You Did Last Summer.
Oh, another good reference. Yes, I know she had a bunch of movies, and I just couldn't think of any of them. That's a good one to mention. Yeah,
that's a 90s one that you know, 97.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. Titus Burgess is 44. He was he played Titus on Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt. He also had a great couple of roles, a recurring role on 30 Rock, and some other good ones. Christopher Atkins is 62, 80s actor from the Blue Lagoon. Kim Coates is 65. Alexander Teague Traeger on Sons of Anarchy. Good one right there.
Okay.
Mary Chapin Carpenter, born is 65 today. Country star whose biggest albums include 92's Come On, Come On, I Feel Lucky, Passionate Kisses, I Take My Chances, He Thinks He'll Keep Me, 1994's Grammy-winning disc Stones in the Road, smash hits like Shut Up and Kiss Me. Mary Chapin got quite the career.
Yeah.
Kelsey Grammer is 68 today.
Really?
Frasier Crane on Cheers and Frasier. And they just reintroduced, they're revamping Frasier. Frasier in Boston.
That's interesting.
Mm.
They have any of the original cast?
Well, everybody but Niles is back. They couldn't work it out with his schedule. He was not able to work it out that well because of his schedule. He wasn't going to be able to be a part of it. They tried to make it work. Just wasn't going to happen. But other than that, and of course, the great John Mahoney, Second City's own again, got to mention that. John Mahoney passed away, unfortunately, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
But I believe Daphne and all that, the rest of the cast is back.
Oh, that's good. I liked Kelsey Grammer in Down Periscope. though. It's such a good movie.
Oh, great one. Yes. Oh, great reference. Again, a good bad movie. Like, you know, just a fun movie. Yeah. A great cast, too. There's a lot of good actors
in that
one. There's
a lot of good actors in that
one. Oh, I forgot about that movie. That's a good one. William L. Peterson is 70 today. He was Gil Grissom on CSI. I really the first couple seasons of the original CSI, I was all in on. I was glued to them. Then they just kind of got eventually became like the same thing over and over. But
same story, different plot line.
The whole reason I watched it was because of William Peterson. I'm a huge fan of his. I'm a great actor. He's done some really good stuff, and I think Gil Grissom's a great performance. There was a movie a while back where he played a JFK, I believe, and it was incredible. Like, he didn't look too much like him, to be fair. Now I feel like I'm getting this wrong. Maybe it wasn't JFK, but it was an incredibly good performance. He was really good in it. He's got a lot more range than I think you would see if all you've ever seen him do is Gil Grissom. Although Gil Grissom, he did a great job of. The great Anthony Daniels is 77. He is C-3PO. He is the only actor to be in all 10 Star Wars movies.
Wow.
And 11 if you count Solo, where he was the human slave Tok. So he's actually been in all of them.
Wow. That's crazy.
I have an old 70s poster for The Empire Strikes Back, and they have on the bottom, you know, the biggest names in the movie and everything. And Anthony Daniels' name is like the third or fourth name mentioned on it. Pretty cool. That's pretty cool.
So was he actually wearing the suit then?
I think I believe so.
They're showing a picture of it disassembled with him sitting in the middle of it.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't remember for verbatim. I want to say that there was somebody in the suit, but I'm not 100%. I don't know if it was him.
Oh, here's the picture. It is him.
It is him. Okay. I thought it was, but I didn't. My memory, I don't trust my memory. So I wasn't sure. I wasn't 100%, but that makes sense.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah. I can't imagine those suits back in the day. I'm sure they're a little bit better now, but yeah, I can't imagine how those must have been back then.
That was probably pretty toasty in there.
David Geffen is 80. He is the co-founder of DreamWorks with Steven Spielberg and Jeffrey Katzenberg. Of course, Geffen Records. Quite a career. One of my favorite actors of all time, one of the biggest influences I will ever have, as we get into our No Longer With Us category, the great Alan Rickman. Should be Sir Alan Rickman. Born in 1946, passed away in 2016. Professor Severus Snape in the Harry Potter movies, Hans Gruber in Die Hard, Dr. Lazarus in Galaxy Quest. He was the voice of God in Dogma, Sweeney Todd, the Caterpillar in Alice in Wonderland. He was also in the sequel, Alice Through the Looking Glass. And while it wasn't a very good movie, the Robin Hood movie with Costner, where he's the only Robin Hood in human history to not use an English accent. And ask Kevin why he did this, because he didn't want to. It was too hard. Go ahead and look it up. It's in Rolling Stone. It's exact words. It's your job. Then don't take the role. I'm sorry. Anyway.
Moving on. Die Hard.
Alan Rickman in that movie has a line. And cancel Christmas! It's just one of the funniest things I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah, I really liked him in that movie.
God, Alan Rickman was good. He was so good, and he played all these darker roles and villains and everything. And you go ahead and Google and look up Daniel Radcliffe talking about working with Alan Rickman, and there's no actor that helped him. Like, Gary Oldman was very helpful as well, but Gary Oldman wasn't in as many movies. Alan Rickman every day was with those kids, helping them learn their lines, helping them feel calm about certain scenes, working with them, like going way above and beyond. There's stories of Alan Rickman being there on set working with the kids, and they're kind of like, oh, wait a minute, Alan's not in makeup, because he didn't need to be there that day. He wasn't being paid to be there that day. He was there to help the kids.
He was there to help. Aww.
He's a great actor, great human
and
being.
What a long, he's got a huge IMDb page.
Yeah.
But again, Die Hard.
Hans Gruber. Yeah, that's the one. That's the one. It really says something when you do seven movies playing a character like Severus Snape, and we still come back to Hans Gruber. That's saying something. And the great Rue McClanahan was born in this day in 1934, passed away in 2010. Golden Girls, she's from Golden Girls, of course, but Rue's passing left Betty White as the last Golden Girl standing. When Bea Arthur passed away in 2009, Estelle Getty in 2008. Rue McClanahan, great in Golden Girls, Nonsense. If you ever get to see the play version, any version of her in Nonsense, that's where you'll really get to see her do work. Like, that's a thespian right there. It'd be similar if all you ever knew of Bea Arthur was Golden Girls. Like, well, wait a minute. Bea Arthur was an incredible stand-up artist. She was really funny. She had Maude. She had, you know, all this other stuff. I feel that way about Rue McClanahan. Like, a lot of people that just know her from Golden Girls, Google Nonsense. Like, watch her in that a little bit. Fantastic. The woman was so good.
That is a fun show.
That is a very fun show, too. Yeah, that's a really good show. And she, when I think of that show, she's the first thing I think of. Wow. Just incredible. I actually think of Nonsense before I think of Golden Girls with her.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. And that's weird because my Nana loved Golden Girls, and I've seen every episode of that show growing up with her and everything. One more time, we want to wish a very happy 12th to Roan Habhagger.
Yeah, happy birthday, Roan.
Enjoy it, Roan. Hope it's a great one for you. We also wish a very happy birthday to Luis Spadowski.
Yes, happy birthday, Luis.
Happy birthday, Jeff Odom.
Happy birthday, Jeff.
Happy 85th, Tom O'Ligney.
Happy 85th, Tom.
And a very happy birthday to our qualifier, Harvey Hankey.
Happy birthday, Harvey. Congratulations.
Enjoy. We encourage you to sit back and take a listen to Melissa's news and then head on over to Misty's Menu. They're open right now till 2. Open 6 to 2, 7 days a week in 9041 State Highway 13 South in Wisconsin Rapids. When you get there, thank the gang for us and wish them a great day from all of us at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. We hope you're having a great start to your Tuesday out there. Thanks for hanging out with Melissa and I. I'm going to get into some fun stuff, take it at the top of the hour. We got a couple of things to get into, and we're going to start right here with our, you know, as I mentioned earlier in the show, Melissa and I like to do weird random facts or idioms on Tuesdays. Well, we've got a special one today since we are in primary season here. It is time to get into some fun, weird, random, strange facts involving the U.S. presidential elections.
Okay.
Like this one, the only clean election in American history, the only clean one.
Clean.
Was most likely the first one in 1789 when George Washington ran unopposed.
Yes.
Even then, Alexander Hamilton was trying to pilfer votes away from the potential vice president, John Adams, though.
Oh.
Some very interesting dialogue and history in that one. Between those two. So while the presidency was kind of like, Washington was kind of like pushed into it and he was going to do the job and everything, the vice president part was a little more dicey. It wasn't until 1856 that Congress removed property ownership as a requirement to vote in elections.
Oh, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, it's good that they removed it, but yeah. That took that long, 1856?
Yep.
Wow.
U.S. presidents choose which Bible or books they want to use on Inauguration Day. Like, for example, President Obama chose two Bibles, the Lincoln Bible, and to rest underneath it, Martin Luther King Jr.'s Bible.
Hmm.
During the 1872 election, presidential incumbent Ulysses S. Grant ran against a corpse.
Oh, my.
His opponent, Horace Greeley, died before the election was finalized. Grant won the election.
Yeah, kind of expected that. But did the other guy get any votes?
I meant to look that up, and I didn't find much information on it. But I am curious. I don't know what it do for your ego. You got to think you're going to win. Yeah, but you got to think you're going to win. But say you only win like 80% of the vote. Like, wait a minute. Oh. Like, wait a minute. Hold up here.
And that does happen. I mean, it happened in the last election.
Right. Yeah. In 1870, Congress passed the 15th Amendment, which granted the right to vote to African Americans and other non-white men. However, an African American's right to vote was often denied in the South and parts of the North until the 1960s.
Wow.
Not that long ago. In 1870, sorry.
I was just going to, that's frustrating to me. Mm.
In 1872, Susan B. Anthony was arrested for attempting to vote in the presidential election. At the same time, Sawyer Truth, a former slave and advocate for justice, demanded a ballot in Michigan, but she was turned away. American women of all races finally won the right to vote in 1920.
1920. Wow. Not very much less, you know, a little bit more than 100 years ago.
103 years ago. Not long at all.
No.
Congress gave Native Americans the right to vote in presidential elections in 1924. However, some states banned them from voting until the 1940s.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, yeah. It's a rough one to swallow, but it's not okay. It's not kosher, obviously. And we put these laws into place to correct that stuff, and that was okay. See what we did just there. We just went over some really heavy stuff and some stuff mm-hmm. that not one of us is proud of about America. Nobody is proud of any of that stuff, but we own it and we move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. It's okay. Mother Teresa had a bad day, everybody. Like, it's okay to chew gum and walk at the same time. You can look at somebody like a George Washington. Hey, George Washington owned slaves. That was bad. Also, mm-hmm. George Washington is the father of our country. That's good. He did good things. He did mm-hmm. some bad things. Guess what? That's everybody. Every human being in human history. It's okay to look at both sides. It's okay to own these things. It doesn't make you less of American. It doesn't mean you. To me, that means you don't love your country completely if you don't own it completely. Like, imagine if we treated our family, our loved ones this way. Mm-hmm. Nobody would be kosher with that. Nobody would say that was all right. Like, it's okay to hold your country accountable and still love it unconditionally.
Yes. Well, and to put this into perspective, the United States is only 246 years old.
Just teenagers.
246. Yep.
We're teenagers.
So in another 20 years, women will have been able to vote for half of the time that the United States has been a country.
Very interesting.
And that's noteworthy, I think.
Absolutely, yes. Yeah, I was just trying to let it sit there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. George Washington is the only U.S. president in history to win 100% of the electoral college vote. This is mainly because organized parties weren't yet formed and he ran unopposed.
Right. That will never happen again.
No, no. George Washington blew his entire campaign budget on 160 gallons of liquor to serve to potential voters. I told you
that
he was a good guy.
Surefire win.
I told you he was a good guy. I told you he was a good guy. The Constitution does not state when Election Day should be, which meant that in the early 1800s, people could vote from April to December.
Wow. Oh, man.
And then people got tired of waiting. Like, no, I want to know kidding. Who. I want to know who won now. I don't know if that's the only cause, but I mean, I imagine that was definitely part of the reason why it got moved.
And that's 8 months.
Could you imagine?
I guess in that time period, you know, when they didn't have telephones.
Yeah, yeah.
Or, you know, let alone the internet. But my goodness, that's a long election cycle.
No, thank you. No, thank you. I do not. I mean, it's hard enough to deal with this political seasons that we do.
We have. Yeah.
My goodness, no. In 1845, Congress decided that voting day should be the first Tuesday after the first Monday in November, which was after the fall harvest and before winter conditions made travel too difficult.
Hmm.
A bit to your
and
point.
And now
there.
It should get moved to the weekend.
Mm, yeah.
Or it should become a holiday. Even better, it should become a holiday.
I don't see the issue with it being. I mean, how great would it be that on election day we don't just vote, we celebrate democracy? You know.
Yeah. Have it on President's Day.
I mean, is it asking to like our fellow Americans too much to have another day to celebrate America? I mean, yeah. I don't think we need an excuse to do that. I think that seems like we should be able to get that into place. That shouldn't mm-hmm. be too hard to get placed in there. Andrew Jackson's inauguration party was so wild that Jackson snuck out of the White House and spent the night at a hotel. Finally, servants dragged tubes of punch out of the lawn to lure out the crowds.
Wow. we got to get these people out of here.
We that is, I think a lot of us have had that happen in high school. Like, but oh, I invited way too many people. I am going to get in trouble. Everybody out. Like, that's not supposed to happen at the White House.
No, that's hilarious.
That is really funny. I want to read more. I actually want to see a movie about that. I want to see like a I want to see Will Ferrell starring as Andrew Jackson or and just a complete spoof of that that situation. Not even historically accurate. I
except for the costumes.
Yes,
they have to be dressed authentically.
100%.
Because that's going to make it more funny.
Way more funny. I think we got half the script written already, Melissa. I think we've got our lead. We've got. I mentioned earlier that most of these issues that we have today, I believe, stem from fear. And that's part of the reason I wanted to go through this, along with having some fun like with things like that. But I don't think a lot of people may realize Jehovah's Witnesses don't vote in presidential elections.
Oh, really?
Mm.
Why not?
There's some reasoning behind that and everything, but I would rather a Jehovah's Witness actually comment on that. I don't feel like I have a right to, and I don't feel like I know it well enough.
I didn't know if you had any background information.
I appreciate that. Melissa and I aren't in the same room here, so she's working with not as much to work with here. Mm-hmm. But I do think that kind of information, that maybe that's not life important information, but I think that it's important to know.
Mm-hmm.
Democrats use a donkey as their mascot thanks to Andrew Jackson. We'll include this in the movie, by the way, Melissa.
Oh, good.
When his critics called him a jackass because of his populist views, he embraced the image, even using it alongside his slogan, "Let the people rule."
Hmm. Okay.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Washington was reluctant to become president and noted to his future Secretary of War, Henry Knox, that becoming president felt like he was going to the place of his execution.
Really?
Well, part of this was because Washington was a general through and through. And if he's going to be president, that means he's not going to be general anymore. And that's like telling an old football coach, hey, you're 90 years old. You can't coach anymore. That's all that he's known. That's all he's ever done. That might as well. They asked Steve Young about this a little while ago. Like, Steve, when you retired, what's retirement to you? Death. Like, right away. Didn't even take a beat. Death. Like, to some, I think to some people, that's just the mentality, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And finally, Norman Thomas of the Socialist Party ran for president more than anyone in history.
Really?
He ran 6 times, but was never elected. Spoiler alert.
Wow.
6 times.
Does it have a year or like a time frame?
Norman Thomas. Let me see here if I can find that out. Nope, because my internet is out.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I can look it up. But another fun fact, I had to look it up since you brought up Jehovah's Witnesses. I was wondering about Amish, and less than 10% of them voted in the 2020 elections or the election before that, I believe.
That's quite interesting.
Yeah.
I'd like to look a little more into that and see how if their populations are counted towards cities and country and counties, because that can have a lot to do with, like, you know, as far as how many seats you have in Congress and things like that. I think that there's a little bit more digging that could be done on that. Interesting.
Yeah. You said Nelson Thomas?
Norman Thomas.
Norman Thomas.
Norman Thomas of the Socialist Party. Hmm.
1884.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Was when he was born.
Right.
So sometime between then and 1968 when he died.
Yeah, I remember that. We called him Normie. Mm-hmm. We called him Normie. Yeah. He didn't like that.
24, 25, 29.
Yeah. I got to think after the fourth time, it's kind of like, okay.
32, 36, 40, 44, and 48.
Talk about being a glutton for punishment. I mean, I'm just going to keep running and losing. I know I'm going to lose. That sixth time, you can't convince me that he didn't think he was going to, that he thought he was going to win. I got to think that by then, it's just kind of like, well, you know, I've been doing it this long. I might as well just go.
Might as well just keep doing it.
I did buy the signs. I did.
Well, in 32, he did get 39% of the vote.
Way to go, Normie. Hey, there you go. That was worth it. That's with splitting people. I think that we have to go to break, but that would lead to a really good conversation about ranked choice voting. I think that would be an interesting conversation. That will happen one of these days, Melissa.
Just gave a wrong stat. That was 39% to Herbert Hoover.
Oh, geez.
Franklin Roosevelt won with 57, and so Norman Thomas must have got whatever was left over.
Poor guy. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more conversation when we get back on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James here with you at 8:55 on the clock. I was just out during our break there talking with Stephanie Hartman from the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center. She is going to be joining us at the kickoff, the 9 o'clock hour. Looking forward to that.
Awesome.
Right now, got an interesting one here, Melissa. Florida might ban dogs from sticking their heads out car windows.
What?
Apparently there was a book about it. No, I'm just kidding. it always seems cruel to not let dogs do this. They love it so much. Mm-hmm. But Florida is considering a new law that would make it illegal to let your dog stick its head out the window while you're driving. Because apparently everything else is perfect in Florida, so they can focus on things like this.
Right.
Interestingly enough, a Democrat named Lauren Book is in Florida State Senate, and she's sponsoring the bill. Everything in it is supposed to keep pets safe and prevent animal cruelty. The window thing is just one part of it. For example, it would also make declawing cats illegal in Florida.
Well, that should happen.
I agree. Bar people from driving with pets on their lap. And ban the sale of rabbits in the leap up to Easter because so many people abandon them later on.
Yeah.
It's debatable whether those things are good ideas or not, but most people seem to think that the window thing for dogs goes a little too far. If it passes, pet owners would be hit with a second-degree misdemeanor for letting their dog do it.
Wow.
People who support the bill say it would keep dogs safer in cars. For what it's worth, experts do caution people against it. They suggest at least buying them dog goggles to protect their eyes from debris.
Mm-hmm.
It's not clear if the bill has enough support to pass. It won't. Spoiler alert, everybody. This will not pass. You had that answer when I said a Democrat. In Florida, that's just not going to happen. And I'm not being mean here. I'm just being honest.
No.
And I'm bringing this up in part because I said all the stuff about the book stuff and everything. We all know that that is very DeSantis driven and all that because he doesn't care about Florida anymore. He wants to be president. He's never cared about the Florida people. He's proven that day in and day out. He's just proving it even more as we're going along here. And he's, you know, battling with other Republicans for that nomination.
Mm-hmm.
Things like this are going to, he'll stand on this hill and he'll, look what I'm doing. I'm defeating this right here. And it's going to be
your pets.
And it's going to be an easy one to defeat because there's stuff in here that just isn't going to be kosher with everybody, like a lot of these kind of bills. I do think that, as silly as it might seem, the goggles thing is actually not a bad idea for your dog. Your dog is not going to, your dog just wants to smell stuff.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to think to close their eyes. They're not going to, they don't know all that sand and that debris that's going in their eyes that can affect their eyes, that can, you know, lead to certain diseases for dogs. There is something behind that.
Science behind it.
Yeah. At the same time, if I got a dog in the car and he wants to stick his head out the window, chances are I'm probably going to let him, you know, being honest. It's how long do you let your dog's head stay out
and
the window?
And at what speed?
Yes. Thank you. I should have mentioned that.
If you're driving 20 miles an hour down a country road, well, there's nothing wrong with that then. But if you're driving 65 on the interstate, well, then no, not so much.
Yeah, yeah.
You wouldn't stick your head out the window then, would you?
There you go. There you go. That's all you needed to be said. Well done. We're going to take a break right here at the top of the hour. We'll let CBS News do their thing. We'll get an update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center. And in the 9 o'clock hour, we'll, of course, as I mentioned, be joined by Stephanie Hartman. We'll talk about the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, some of the fun things they have going on over there. A little bit later after that, Melissa and I will get into some That Ain't Right stories, some good stories of the day. All that coming up for you in the 9 o'clock hour. Melissa and James taking you through it right here on Mornings at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio.